I told you this morning, that Donnie preached my sermon for me. In many ways he did. I perhaps ought to just put this cassette up and let him preach it again. But he hit a few highlights that I want to bring to your attention even more tonight. There was two subjects that was impressed upon me early this morning, and I will bring them to your attention, a few of them this evening. I said that for my wife's benefit, because I don't want to hold you too long. But there was two impressed upon me, and one was the power. The actual power of the adversary, his strength, and what he can do to the hearts and to the minds of men and women. And another one was backsliding. Now those seem like odd things, maybe. And I thought to myself this morning, well, Lord, I preached on the devil here not too long ago. But you know he's with us all the time. And he's in the world constantly. And not only the devil is with us, but one third of the host of angels, plus those who yield themselves to the enticings of the taskmaster of death. In other words, you or I, or the others about us, can become a son of perdition, or can become an angel of the adversary of death by our actions and by our words. Now, I'd like to take to start with this evening to a scripture that Donnie quoted. Maybe possibly several of them this evening that he lightly touched. But I'd like to go back, and I would like to begin in the third chapter of Revelation. And I will begin in the 15th verse. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I want you to take particular attention here, pay particular attention to what's taking place. Number one is, before that individual or before a group of people can become warm, they must be subject to the fire. In other words, somewhere, someplace, they've been to where that warmth has existed that has caused that to reach to the state that it is lukewarm. In other words, then, that the fire that could reach it to the hot position in which the Lord would accept was there at their disposal, but they had rejected it. This is what it represents. They had taken just enough of that flame and BTUs put out by the spiritual understanding of God to reach them to a lukewarm position, and then they neglected to continue, and they withdrew themselves from that flame of life. And so they no longer followed that straight and narrow path until they entered in at that narrow gate. But they had reached, I want you to take real close attention here, pay real close, they had reached the state that they could no longer stand before God the Eternal Father and say, I was not at any time subject unto your law, nor did I know it. I do not preach tonight, and I will not preach to those who are without the law and do not comprehend, because they don't worry me a bit. None, because the Lord tells me that they who are without the law need not fear, because they cannot be judged by it. But it's you and I that need to fear, because you and I possess the law and have had it. And it depends upon you and upon myself to how much I, Hubert Gates, have taken of that law, have applied it to my life, whether I have reached the state where I was lukewarm, or whether I have reached the state that I was hot. I can no longer stand before the judgment bar of God and say, well, Lord, I'm just that cold individual. Oh, no. There's not a one in this room that if somebody come up and said, say, Brother Harold, you say you got the gospel of Christ? What do you think he'd tell him? He'd say, you betcha. I've got the law. I've got that road. I've got every road sign that's necessary to tell me where I must travel entering the kingdom of heaven. He possesses the switch that turns on the power that causes the spiritual being of you and I and the souls about us to reach that state that the Lord will no longer spew them out of his mouth. We all do. How much of it have we applied to our life? If we want to be serious, and if I want to be serious tonight, if I look at myself, I find that I have not reached the state where I'm hot. That I am still in that area in which Christ says is lukewarm and which he'd spit me out of his mouth. Why? Well, in a way, because I've been blessed to a certain knowledge, though it may be small, of the gospel of Christ. But I have been blessed to know enough of it that I know that it's necessary for me to apply it and not to turn away from it, nor turn off the very source that generates the power that causes me to continue to reach the state that I reach into the hot position where the Lord can use me as a vessel in his hand. Or you as a vessel in his hand. Is this not so? Look upon this. We can't say we're cold. We can't say that. None of us here tonight. But we sure might be lukewarm. Because we have possessed knowledge of the gospel of Christ. It's in our possession right here. You hear it preach across the pulpit continually. And with this knowledge, don't fool yourself one moment. With this knowledge goes then the necessity to be obedient to the law of God, for thus you possess it right here. You must then be obedient to that law. And the more this knowledge that you possess, the more you must be obedient to the law, because more is required of you and of me that we might reach that hot state that Christ is speaking about, that we might be able to generate ourselves and those about us beyond the lukewarm stage. And the pitiful part about that is that we don't have a right to be lukewarm. We don't. We possess the knowledge to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have it at our disposal to study and to pray over. We had our children and our people blessed by the power of God. He's answered our prayers so many times. He's raised our sick. He's guided and directed us and protected us time after time. Do we really have a right to come before him as a lukewarm individual? Why must we doubt? Where is our hesitation? What is the purpose of the gospel of Christ? It's not for the Lord. He has the kingdom of heaven. It's for you and I. Not for him. He already possesses that which you and I want to possess. I'd like to read in Hosea, I'd like to read one verse, and he's speaking to a nation that's turned away from him. He's speaking to a nation, like Donnie said today, that possessed knowledge of the gospel of Christ, nevertheless they rejected it. And take heed, brothers and sisters, never has there been a period of time time that the gospel of Christ was given unto the children of men, that there were not those who rejected it. Those who were subject to it and had a chance to accept it, nevertheless they rejected it. You'll find that in every page of history you go to. Some accepted it, but many rejected it. And let's read what he has to say here concerning it. I'm reading in the 11th chapter, and I'll read the 7th verse. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Listen to this. Does this fit us? And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Now listen to this. His people are bent on backsliding from him. And that's what we do today, as a nation and as a people. We have been backsliding from him regularly. Whenever we absolutely refuse to serve the Lord as he so desires, we are backsliding. And just like my brother Don brought out today, and I'm not going to read it, but whenever you're on the plow and you get looking back, brother, you're lost. You're lost. And you can go to any affiliation in the world today and they'll tell you, as well as the scientists, they'll tell you, we're even past 10 minutes into midnight. Yeah, for a long time, it was just 11:50. Now we're closer to that, even according to the scientists. And never break bridges. Yeah. They recognize the fact that we're that much closer to the end of time here when something's going to just tear things all to pieces. That's what they recognize. Skeet here just the other day made a statement that was beautiful. He said, we're entering in a period of time that only the strong is going to stand. Did you know that's what Brother Don preached this morning? But he preached it from Christ's words when he said there'll be but a few. That's just exactly what he was preaching. Those few will have to be strong or they won't survive. Now I'd like to make just a little bit of comparison. You know, last Wednesday night, Greg was telling me that he was going to run the track meet. Mistake. You know, he didn't get there just before pastime. And he didn't get into that run because he was lukewarm. He got into that run because he was hot. What do you think about a boxer that would never prepare himself and never get in good shape and go out and fight a 15-round main event for the championship of the world? You think he'd stand much of a chance with somebody in there that's in good shape and ready to go? No, he wouldn't. Not in the least. That old devil, he's working all the time. He's in good shape. Boy, he's got great endurance. And he continues to work. And he continues to interject into the minds of the children to do just exactly the opposite of what the Lord had commanded them to do. And he says, meet together off. Meet together off. That you may comfort one another. Why did he say that? Pull off by yourself and you'll find out real quick. There never has been an individual born yet that could stand by themselves forever. Well, they might think they can, but they can't. Never can they. That's why the Lord said, meet together all, and we might strengthen one another. That we might perhaps be able to stop the backsliding. That we might perhaps be able to motivate forward and reach the place then that we will be one of his chosen. Now a boxer You know, he works out to the point that it's just a system. It just comes natural to him. Did you know that? He shadow boxes. Now that sounds funny. You see a guy just dancing out there and poking holes in the air. But he shadow boxes to stay in shape. And why he's shadow boxing, he's thinking that he's fighting an opponent. And so when a guy automatically starts one thing, he already knows what to do, so he just stops it and he goes a different way. He recognizes it immediately. It becomes a habit. The gospel of Jesus Christ should be a habit in your life and mine. It should be a habit for that which is right. It should be a habit for you and I to see to it that we're here in this house. That our children are here in this house. Because incidentally, this is where you get the spiritual food that's going to motivate you. This is the place where you're going to get the wood that you're going to put in the stove to continue to reach a place that you're no longer lukewarm. To separate yourself from that or from the gospel of Jesus Christ has never been the answer. You can't plow a field without a plow. And if you turn loose to the plow and walk away from it, there will be no field plowed. And there never has been. When the field's plowed, you'll find a worker there. You'll find somebody that's interested enough in that field to plow it and work at it. This group of people was backsliding. I'd like to read to you a terrible thing. It's terrible, and it touches your heart at the same time. And this is a story that a man was writing as he was pouring out his heart to a people that were dead, a people that he loved and had great compassion over. A people that had rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ had become a lukewarm individual. And I'm reading out of the third chapter of Mormon. And he's looking upon the battlegrounds where 230,000 of his men and women died. Can you imagine that? You just stop and think for a second. You think about an individual that loved a group of people. He looked upon them, 230,000 of them, and he saw their dead bodies laying out there. And it tells us, it says, and their flesh and their bones and their blood lay upon the face of the earth, being left by the hands of those who slew them, to molder upon the ground, to crumble and to return to their mother earth. And my soul is rent with anguish because of the slain of my people, and I cry, O ye fair ones, how could ye have departed from the ways of the Lord? How could ye have departed away from the ways of the Lord? Oh, ye fair ones, how could ye have rejected that Jesus who stood with open arms to receive you? How could you have rejected that Jesus that stood with open arms to receive you? Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to a group of people that had the gospel of Jesus Christ and became a warm people and had turned their back and backslided to the point that they were utterly destroyed. That's who he's speaking to. That's who he's crying over. Behold, if ye had not done this, ye would not have fallen. Behold, ye are fallen, and I mourn your loss. Why shouldn't it? Why shouldn't he? Isn't there anybody here tonight that don't mourn the loss of their loved ones? A mother, a father, one of your children, Don't you mourn their loss? If an individual is truly touched by the Spirit of God and loves with a perfect compassion all his brothers and sisters across the face of the earth, wouldn't he truly mourn the loss of the spiritual being of his brothers and sisters? Wouldn't he mourn when he saw him reach Luke's state period? Wouldn't he be fearful? Especially when they know that he lives. Especially when they possessed a knowledge of the Master. They saw his power and his compassion. But they were looking back from the plow. O ye fair sons and daughters, ye fathers, ye mothers, ye husbands and wives, ye fair ones, how is it ye could have fallen? He still cried. What he was trying to figure out is why that group of people had the gospel of Jesus Christ and possessed it, and nevertheless they let it drift from them to the point that they no longer possessed that which was necessary for God to protect them or lead them and direct them in any manner. Not to a people that are cold was he speaking, but to a people that was lukewarm, which had been hot at one period of time, and had lost the spirit in which they had possessed. It's like you set a kettle off the fire, and then finally the heat just finally dissipates till it reaches cold. Who he's talking to. He's talking to a people that possess a knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's who I'm talking to this evening. Is a people that possesses a knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ and has possessed it, and do to a certain extent this day possess it. And yet we have allowed it to lay in many cases unused, undeveloped. It generates no source of power, and it is continually depleting and recessing down to the point that it will turn cold or lukewarm. I'd like to read in Peter what he has to say about this. And I'm reading in the second chapter of 2 Peter. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. What's he telling us here? After you have been able to see the flaw in men and recognize that you can no longer lean on the arm of flesh, and recognize that there is a supreme being, and with that supreme being goes a law, and have that law at your disposal, and then no longer use it, but cast it from you, it'd been better that you never had. That's what it's telling us. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Well, don't make any mistake. Just like Uncle Pete preached the other day, none of his words shall come back unto you void. None. And right there are the commandments of God. And in these two books are the things that are necessary for you and I to abide by them in the kingdom of heaven. Every one of us here recognizes that fact. Just like those of old in one period of time recognized the fact that they must be obedient unto the law of God, nevertheless they turned from Him, and they were no longer endowed by His Spirit from on high until the Lamanite brethren rose up and destroyed them completely. Now you're a white race. Read the 9th and the 10th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi that our brother called to your attention this morning. And it tells you that the Lamanite people shall rise once again. And it shall go, and they shall go through the Gentiles like a young lion. Because they shall be endowed by the Spirit of God on high. And that don't mean all these that we see around in the revelations. That means those who have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ and shall rise up and believe in Him. And not only believe, but be obedient unto His holy law and carry it. But remember this, as those prophets of old stood up under the influence of the power of God Almighty and told Israel, take heed, turn back to the God of Israel. And they didn't do it. They were destroyed. That same individual that called Samuel the Lamanite to stand up on the wall and prophesy, and Nephi, and Jacob, and the others who stood and spoke of these things, that same God will rise up a people that are righteous unto Him. And the time is going to come in the near future that He shall rise them up and they shall go forth as a young lion. And it's up to you and I whether we're going to decide whether we're going to be a portion of that young lion or we're going to be a portion of the Gentile that's laid waste. And just as sure as the prophecies was given to you and I that there would be a Christ born of a virgin and that He would die for the sins of the world and crucified. And just as sure as the individual told of a Columbus and told of the other little colonies that came over from England and told of the fall of the Lamanite people and how the Gentiles were going to come in and sweep them back and take control over them. Nevertheless, it tells us that He will take care of them, and we have. The government still feeds them and still takes care of them. And then it says, the gospel shall be taken back. Bless your heart, I believe that with all my heart. And I believe the man that I saw from the time I was a youth was a great instrument in carrying that gospel forward to where the Lamanites are right. Up with greater power today than ever before. And just as sure as those prophecies are being fulfilled, the Jews go back and have established Israel and stand and should whip a great nation, so will the prophecies be fulfilled concerning those who have had the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejected it, have turned away from it, and have gone the ways of the world. It's one thing to speak of separating yourself from the world, and it's another to do it. And we of a people have not separated ourselves. We have not come with the love for the gospel of Jesus Christ for one another that is expected of us to reach past the state of a lukewarm position. We have not come with a desire that is necessary to motivate forward that we might cause those about us to see and get on the bandwagon and go with us. The first thing we do is we separate ourselves from this little group. Many times we do this. Many times we separate ourselves here. You know something? This isn't my group, or John's group, Larry's group, Brother Barringer's, or Donnie's. You know something? This is yours. It's every one of us. This isn't my church. I'm just a member of it. This is God's church. This is the church of Christ. And you are just as much of a member of it than I am. We're all responsible for it. We're all responsible for what goes on here and what goes on in our home and in our lives, because we represent the Church of Christ on the face of this earth. Now that sounds funny, doesn't it? But it's the truth. And we as a people, because of the contention that we've allowed to rise among us in this pride, in independence, here, in the different places, we as a people have been backsliding because we have not with authority carried the gospel of Jesus Christ, and neither have we lived it in a proper manner. And neither do we come here to support it like we should. Well, if it falls in right, we come. If it don't fall just right, we don't. Yeah. If so-and-so preaches and I like him, well, I'll come. If he preaches and I don't like him, I'll stay home. That's not the gospel of Christ. That's the lukewarm gospel of Christ. That's not the gospel of Christ that's going to help you and I endure. That's, you know what you and I should be doing? We should come here and shadow box. Yeah, that sounds funny. But we should come here and shadow box that we are prepared. That when the battle is laid right in our lap, we will automatically, by habit, face it and confront it with power and hesitate not and neither grow weary. You watch a 15-round bout, you'll find a guy that starts getting weary around the 10th and 11th round. If he's not careful, he's going to get his ears knocked down. Knocked out. In the gospel of Christ, he don't allow any one of them to be weary, because the weary don't last. The cleansing of the sanctuary, brothers and sisters, is going to cleanse out a lot of those that have already grown weary. It's going to cleanse us. And unless we have prepared ourselves and have reached the spiritual state that we are no longer lukewarm, but we have a faith in the Redeemer of Israel, that we believe in the Old Jerusalem gospel, and not only do we believe it, but we preach it with power and authority and live it with the same power and authority, then we would grow. We grow as a people, we grow as individuals. When we reach the state that we can actually possess in our bosom the love and compassion for the children of men that are within the bosom of the beloved Son, then we'll grow. When we reach the state that the desire to serve our Heavenly Father, God the Eternal Father, even to the point that His beloved Son, that he'd even give his life for that which his Father desired him to do, then we'll no longer reach the place that we're lukewarm. Then we can grow stronger each day. There's an old saying among fellows at work, oh, let's put off today what we can do tomorrow. Let's put off today what we can do tomorrow. Well, I'll tell you something. In the gospel of Christ, you better not put off today and think you can do it tomorrow. Because there might not be a tomorrow. You better get it done today. There's not a one of us here tonight, including myself, that knows that I'm going to be able to see you tomorrow or Wednesday or anything else. I might not be making it there tomorrow. I might be killed in a car accident going home. Oh, it's would say, hey, we can be spared from that. I don't know. I've got a sister here that wasn't. And I got a niece that wasn't spared by much. Yeah, we're subject to things, you betcha. Just like everybody else. So how can we really come and think, oh, we're going to put off tomorrow what we could do today, but we're not going to? No. We better not put it off tomorrow. We better do it today. We better do it today so when we entered in the 15-round top tomorrow, we'll be prepared. You know, Gray, I believe, he's running the 440. He's running a quarter of a mile. And he runs all the time and he's in good shape. Now just look at the speaker for a minute. Boy, wouldn't I look good out there running a quarter of a mile trying to keep up with that young lad? Now you just think about that for a minute. Wouldn't I be a fine how-to-do? Well, that's just how we look, brothers and sisters, when we don't conduct ourselves in a Christian-like manner. That's just exactly how we look to the world when they call them hypocrites. Religious hypocrites. Because we have not developed ourselves to the stature that is necessary to have the endurance, the spiritual endurance that is necessary to confront us with the problem. With the gospel of Jesus Christ goes peace and harmony and love and happiness. And look at us. We come here with our head dragging, dejected. Yeah. Sometimes sorry and worried about somebody else. Sometimes sorry of ourselves. What? Is that the gospel of Christ working in our life, that we got all the problems in the world and we can't lay them at His feet and walk away? Is it? What is it that causes our people to come here and just slough in the seat like that? What is it? Well, that's not the Lord's way. Because He promised life, life. Incidentally, the New Bible leaves this out, but I like it anyway, and it means something to me. It says life more, M-O-R-E, abundantly. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ brings into the lives of the children of men and women. When they will truthfully and wholeheartedly subject themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ and His Spirit and invite and entice His Spirit to lead and to direct their life and not rebuke it and not withdraw themselves from the living source of life that generates the heat that you might have eternal. That's the source. There's a lot of scriptures I want to bring to you tonight. And I'm not going to have a chance. But I'd like to have you listen here just for a minute. I want to read you about this whole weakling called the devil. You know that one that's in good shape, like Greg? That just runs right over the top of me, too, just like Greg would. And I have to watch him all the time. Because, boy, it don't take him long to overpower. And you know something? He don't wait for you to ask, either. He don't ever come up and say, hey, Hugh, you want a wrestling match? Oh, no. It's a constant wrestling match, whether he asks you or not. That's where that old conscience is always speaking to me. Don't do that. Oh, why not? It's just a little bit. Oh, no, you shouldn't do it. Oh, it's just a little. Go ahead. Oh, you don't feel quite right today. Don't go to church. Or, dadgummit, you can sass that sister or that brother if you want to and get grump at him. It won't hurt nothing. Oh, yes, it does. You bet it does. That old devil is enticing and working with the minds of men constantly. And you know what? Wants to do? Anybody that is subject to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wants to pull them away from it. And he wants to so draw a barrier between you and the gospel of Christ that he can possess you. And don't think for one minute that he won't do it at this little chance he gets, because those who are cold and who are without the law, he worries not. But those that I see and within the sound of my voice tonight, he does worry, because he's afraid that you shall rise up and bring forth the light that drives out the shadow of darkness that they might see. That the world might see. That's what he's afraid of. And so he'll trip you up and he'll stop you and put in front of your way the holes and the chasms that will cause you to fall in them. And unless you get up with the greater strength and with the spiritual zeal that you can receive from the power of God Almighty, you will lay there and be no good to yourself or anything about you. For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it, it must need be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with the everlasting chains, and they be stirred up into anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall be rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. Yeah, stir them up to anger to that which is good. That the love shall wax cold, as my brother said this morning, the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the love for our fellow men, that love shall wax cold, and that the people who are hot shall then reach to this place, that they are lukewarm and they shall be spewed out of the master's mouth, and when they knock upon the door, he says, I know you not. And others he pacify and lull them away into carnal security. Oh, yes. He pacifies them, just leads them away into carnal security. That they will say, all is well in Zion. Yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. If I was to stand before you tonight, brothers and sisters, and tell you that all is well in this local and everything's fine, I'd lie to you. Because all isn't well in this local. Which one of us here is ready for a Zion, yea? Which one of us here can live with our brothers and sisters in harmony without fuss and anger? Can we say, yea, Zion, all is well? No, we can't. Now let's listen to the next verse. And thus the devil cheateth their souls. Who? The devil cheateth their soul and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Leadeth them away carefully down to hell. Not abruptly, not going to grab you and push you. Just real gently going to entice your mind. Don't worry, somebody else will do it. Don't worry about that personal. Let somebody else go over and visit with it. Don't worry about preaching gospel, somebody else will. Yeah. Just gently and carefully lead you down to hell. That's the way the old adversary works. Gently. And behold, others are flattered away and telleth them, there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. Yeah. And thus he whispers in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chain, from whence there is no deliverance. Carefully. Carefully take notice. He leads them down to hell. He says, there's no hell, and there's no devil. And all the time he's telling them that, he's just reaching out until he gets the lock snapped on the handcuffs and on the leg irons, and then there's no deliverance. And why isn't there any deliverance? I'll tell you why. Because when a man or woman allows themselves to so generate, or I should say allow the devil to generate in their life, so pulled themselves away from the spiritual zeal and understanding and strength of the gospel of Jesus Christ and His living Spirit. By the time they've done that, it's too late. By the time they've done that, it's too late. That's why. That's why Mormons cried, "O ye fair ones." Because they had allowed themselves to be enticed by the power of the devil. That he took control and continued in that control until he destroyed a nation of righteous people. I mean a nation. How many of us are in this room here? Very few, huh? How many is in the Church of Christ? Can you ponder upon 230,000 souls laying dead before you? Think about that for a minute. If there's 230,000 of them there, was enticed real gently and carefully by the devil until he had his chains upon them, till there was no deliverance, what do you think can happen to you and I? How often do you think we can drop our guard? Listen, the devil's there always with a left hook and a straight right hand. Always. He's always there just waiting for you one time to no longer prepare yourself for the race. For what race? The race of life. And just as soon as he sees you get all fat and sloppy, boy, does he work with the greatest power that he has to just come in and just lead you just gently as he so desires. We never reach the state. Never do we reach the state that we can stop working in the gospel of Jesus Christ and motivating forward. If you think so, let's look at this hot pot. If you're going to brew up a pot of coffee, you brew it up and it's all perked and you clean it all out and you get you a cup and you drink that cup of coffee. But in the meantime, you took it and you set it completely away from the fire. You go back, you know it's an odd thing. It was hot. Oh, it's so hot it burns your mouth, but it's cold. Whenever you allow yourself to be separated from the gospel of Jesus Christ, whenever you allow yourself to be separated from their people, whenever we allow ourselves to separate from the Spirit of God, the Comforter that would lead you and direct you and teach you all things and recall to your remembrance those things that Christ had did and taught, whenever you allow yourself to be separated from that Spirit, then you begin to lose the heat in your life, your spiritual life. And you go down. And you don't progress. You degress. And as long as you keep away from that life-giving source that generates the hearts, that stimulates the heart of love for God the Eternal Father and for all His creation, you will continually to go colder and colder and colder until you reach the state, just like it tells us here in the Scriptures, that there is no deliverance. Oh, there's also another story that I'm not going to take time to read about a man that knew the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejected it. And he was made mute. But finally he asked him to call in the children of men and he said, "Oh, I fear that I have done the unpardonable sin, that which cannot be forgiven, but call in the people that I might tell them that there is a God, the Eternal Father, and His Son, even the Christ." And then he died. How much time we got? How much time? Where are you? How close to the fire are you? Are you just fairly close? Real close? Quite a ways? I'm going to have to stop. My wife's grinning already. You know I can't help this. It sounds funny. Do you know in these two books it's so beautiful stories a man ever had the privilege of reading. some of the most beautiful promises of God, the Eternal Father, to His children that we can't even comprehend. And in them are some of the most tragic things, because you see the souls of men and women rejecting those things that are true and pulling away from them, that they will not eat. And they'll sit in an audience with plugs in their ears and they hear not. Just like those of old. And he told them, he says, you have hardened your hearts. Yeah. Or they had pulled the plugs out where it runs through one ear and right out the other, and it didn't stay. You know, that always worries me. You know, I used to pray for a long time for knowledge of the gospel of Christ. I still do. I prayed because I didn't want to ever teach anything but the truth. I never wanted to teach something that would lead somebody away from my Father. But you know, that's not enough. I find that you must have God's Spirit to be with you. Always, that perhaps you might have the wisdom to convey it in such a manner that they might understand. There's a lot of people who possess a great knowledge, but they can't explain it to anybody else. Right. And a lot of them have a powerful knowledge, but they haven't the way to convey it to another. We must learn to convey our God, our Christ, our way of life to another. They might see. We must learn and live so we can convey that to another, that they might have life. That they might receive the joy and the happiness. That they might see and be spiritually uplifted, even the things that we see. If a man abide not in me, Christ speaking in the 15th chapter of St. John, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. And they are burnt. You know the words of Christ are just exactly like His promises. They're going to come true. Just like the prophecies. Yeah. And just like when He said they've got lots of stripes coming, they're going to get them. And they got just a few stripes coming, they're going to get them. Yeah. Just like Peter said, if we've once known the gospel and turn away from it, it'd be better that we'd never known it. Brothers and sisters, we can't say we've known it. None of us. None of us no longer have the right to turn away. That's right. We no longer have the right to turn away. Why did He just happen to bless us to start with? Why did He just happen to Evelina here? How come that spirit that dwells in that tabernacle of clay, why was it born? Family that possessed the knowledge of the gospel of Christ. Why was she so richly blessed? Why was I? Why were you, who had been drawn into the gospel of Jesus Christ, so richly blessed? So you could sit on your duff and do nothing for your God? Is that why? So we can be satisfied to just sit and say, well, Donald do it. Or Donald do it. Or Skeet's coming through and he can take it. No. That's not why we were so richly blessed with the knowledge of the gospel of Christ. Because He wanted to rise up a people that would carry it and live it. He wanted to rise up a people that would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and live it in such a manner that those about Him couldn't reject it. Just absolutely could not reject it. That's what He wanted. that they'd have to see it. That's just exactly what he wanted to bring. That's why you've been called. Now I say you, men and women, as well as the ministry here, you betcha, every one of you falls on your shoulders a job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ with your home or work. Everyone. I'm going to read another scripture here. I'd like to read in the 6th chapter of Daniel. I'd like to read to you what a person found out about this God that Daniel served. And he's your God and mine. I make a decree that their dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. Listen to this. He is the living God. And steadfast forever in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed in his dominion shall be even unto the end. That don't mean that we have any time to tinker around or play. But his dominion is even unto the end. And the scriptures tell us that when you see these things, know that the end is nigh. When you see these things, know that I'm at the very door. The scriptures tells us. You and I have seen him. We have seen him. And he is at the very door. He's at the very door. He delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs and wonders in the heaven and in the earth, and hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. There's a man that evidently wasn't lukewarm. And he was thrown in the lions. We had the 3 Hebrew children that wasn't lukewarm either. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. They still lived. There's the difference between those who are lukewarm and those who are following the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everyone that's here tonight has a calling. Everyone. Except these little babes that are in the laps that comprehend not. But those who have reached the stage that they can comprehend has a calling. And their calling is to serve their God in any manner possible. In any manner possible. And that doesn't mean to withdraw yourself from him or from his people. It means to teach and to live the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Why? I don't have to answer that. You know why. You've heard it said 10,000 times across the pulpit. This life is very short. But boy, eternity is a long time. Remember this. You've got eternal life. You can figure on that. It's yours. That's right. Every one of us here tonight have eternal life. Each one of us. But it's either eternal life in harmony and peace and joy with God the Eternal Father, or it's eternal life with those of the angels of the devil that shall be tormented in the gnashing of teeth, because they shall be cast out from the face of God, never to see him again. Never. The eternal lives do you have? You know, when I was called to be an elder. I was told that the fields were white and ready to harvest. I was told the laborers were few. And I was told, hide not.